I tend to be a little bit of an anxious traveler. In general, I like going into situations for which I have some understanding of a context. I like to be able to anticipate any circumstance that might arise. However, traveling is usually filled with new experiences and new places. Whether it's flying or driving, especially if I'm on my own, I tend to stress about things like, well, I know what to do when I get there. What happens if this problem arises? Will I be able to problem solve my way out of this issue? A man named Dennis Miller shared about his own travel anxiety. He said, "My fear of flying starts as soon as I buckle myself in. And then the guy up front mumbles a few unintelligible words. Then before I know it, I'm thrust into the back of my seat by acceleration that seems way too fast, and the rest of the trip is an endless nightmare of turbulence, of near miss. And then the cabbie drops me off at the airport." I respond to my own travel anxiety by trying my best to be as prepared as possible, troubleshooting potential issues and being as knowledgeable as I can about where I'm headed. The increased access to technology has actually helped this a good bit. When I fly, I can get text messages on my phone from the airlines giving me updates on my flight about whether or not they've changed the time or the gate. If I'm driving, I can check the traffic update before I leave the house, or I can check the weather update to make sure I'm not going to get into bad traveling conditions. Or if I get lost or run into heavy traffic, I can pull out my GPS and get directions. Knowing what to expect as I travel to my destination, even if I can't change the circumstances, does so much to calm my nerves. In our scripture this morning, Jesus is making preparations to travel to a new place. But before he leaves, he takes a moment to prepare his disciples for what is coming, because one day they will make the same trip. This scripture is a part of a larger section that scholars call the farewell discourse. Jesus wants to give direction and hope to his disciples, knowing that his time is quickly coming to an end. In some ways, Jesus is acting like a travel agent in this scripture, explaining the details of the trip before the travelers leave. The destination to which they are headed is his Father's house. And the disciples need not be worried because Jesus is going ahead of them to make the arrangements before they arrive. It's a nice house with many rooms, and they know how to get there. All they need do is follow in the way of Jesus. When I was in kindergarten, I had appendicitis and had to have my appendix removed. I was really young at the time, and I have very few memories of what happened. But then when I was in high school, my brother Nathan discovered that he too developed an infection in his appendix and was going to have surgery to remove it. So in his anxiety about what was about to happen, he came to me and asked me to explain what it was like. I told him what I remembered, and it brought him comfort to know that someone had gone through this before. I could show him that there was a way through what he was about to experience. Likewise, Jesus describes the journey ahead in a relatable way, which brings the disciples comfort. Unlike a travel agent who may never actually travel to the place you're about to see, Jesus is in some ways returning home. And he invites the disciples to someday make this place their home too. It's a place to dwell, not just visit, a place to settle in. Even though the disciples have never seen it before, they can trust Jesus, their travel agent and companion, to go ahead of them and prepare the way. They will not be able to anticipate every part of their journey or even fully comprehend the destination, but they know they are in good hands. As a pastor, I have had people ask me what to expect as they near the end of this life and begin to see glimpses of the life to come. Sometimes I draw on the beautiful imagery in the book of Revelation that talks about being in God's presence in metaphorical ways. Sometimes I draw on the words of Jesus in scripture, like this one that we're focusing on today, that tells us a little bit about what to expect. However, these scriptures often provoke more questions than provide answers. Scripture doesn't tell us much for certain. Instead, scripture gives us glances and murmurs so that we don't become so focused on the destination that we lose sight of the journey. There's a significant amount of trust that goes into this journey of life. And for me, the words of 1 John 4:8, which says, "God is love," reminds us that if we're going to dwell in God's house, then we dwell in love. That is all I need to know. If God is love, then whatever is to come will be filled with and inspired by that love. Jesus says, "You know the way I'm going." But Thomas misunderstands what Jesus means. He assumes that Jesus is giving him some physical direction. So in his confusion, he says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus, who became like us so that we might become like him, says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." They already know the way because they know Jesus. They are the ones who have learned from Jesus and are being discipled into his way. Jesus shared in our humanity so that we might share in his divinity. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus knows that when he says these words to the disciples, that the days ahead for him and his disciples will be hard days. Jesus needs the disciples to understand that there is a purpose in what is about to come. There is a purpose in the cross. They can be reassured that Jesus must go ahead of them so that they can be gathered into God's very presence. The disciples must have faith, being assured of the things they hope for and convicted of the things not yet seen. I like the way the New English Bible translates this familiar text from Hebrews 1. It's written in that version, "And what is faith? Faith gives substance to hope and makes us certain of realities we do not see." I think this is what Jesus was trying to do. He's trying to strengthen the faith of his disciples so that their hope has substance, even when the work that God is doing through Jesus seems unclear. And scripture is filled with this substantiated hope. When God calls people, God often calls them to see a different future than their current reality, even when it seems ridiculous or impossible. Noah, for example, is ridiculed by his neighbors because he begins to build a boat before there's ever a drop of rain. Childless Abraham and Sarah leave their home with only God's word that they will become parents of a great nation in their old age. Mary knew that God was working to turn the world upside down even before she ever felt the first kick in her womb. These faithful people were dreamers. They had the ability to live into the vision of things not yet seen, even in their present. Their dreaming didn't predict the future, but their current reality was changed by their vision, by God's vision for the future. What these forebearers of faith did not do was sit at home waiting for the day that God would fulfill the promise that had been made. They didn't sit back hoping for the pie in the sky promise. They became active participants in God's future. Even though the journey was still unknown, they were not crippled by fear, nor did they give in to false optimism. Henry Nouwen once wrote, "Optimism and hope are radically different attitudes. Optimism is the expectation that things, the weather, human relationships, the economy, the political situation, and so on, will get better. Hope is the trust that God will fulfill God's promises to us in a way that leads us to true freedom." The optimist speaks about concrete changes in the future, but the person of hope lives in the moment with the knowledge and trust that all of life is in good hands. As much as I like to be prepared as I enter into new situations, I have learned that no matter how much I agonize and stress about tomorrow, I cannot fully anticipate what is to come. We have to be open to the new that comes when we are called to leave our comfort zones. We have to put aside our troubled hearts so that we can begin to glimpse even now that which is being prepared. We must fully put our trust in God's faithfulness that strengthens us for today and gives us hope for tomorrow. Rob Bell tells a story about a time he was eating breakfast with some of his family in a restaurant. He says, "We were finishing our meal when I noticed that the waitress brought our check and then took it away and then brought it back again. She placed it on the table, smiled, and said, 'Somebody in the restaurant paid for your meal. You're all set.' And then she walked away. I had the strangest feeling sitting there. There was nothing I could do. It had been taken care of. To insist on paying would have been pointless. All I could do is trust that what she said was true and actually live that it was true, which meant getting up and leaving the restaurant. My acceptance of what she said gave me a choice, to live like it was true or to create my own reality in which the bill had not been paid." Jesus tells his disciples and us about the place that he goes away to prepare so that we can trust in the future that God is creating and to live now as if what Jesus says is true. The one who we know as teacher, as friend, as Lord, goes ahead of us to prepare this place in his Father's house. And we know the way. If we trust in his goodness, then our hearts need not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Jesus, who was, who is, and who will always be the way, the truth, and the life.